If you have your Bible, I want you to go to a particular verse of Scripture that's found in the Gospel of Mark. Very familiar to most of you, probably, many of you at least. And as we read Mark chapter 2, I want to concentrate on those first five verses. And in those first five verses, we find that a few days later, when Jesus had entered Capernaum, the people heard that he had come home. Wow. The people heard that he had come home. They gathered in such large numbers that there was no room left, not even outside the door, and he preached the word to them. Some men came bringing to him a paralyzed man, carried by four of them. Since they could not get him to Jesus because of the crowd, they made an opening in the roof above Jesus by digging through it and then lowered the mat the man was lying on. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralyzed man, "Son, your sins are forgiven." Lord, we ask that you bless us in the Word of God today. So in the previous chapter leading up to this, in Mark chapter 1, you find that there Jesus had cast out demons. He's healed Peter's mother-in-law. He's also cured a leper. And he instructed that leper not to go tell anybody about the miracle, but the leper didn't listen. And he went and told everybody about Jesus in Mark chapter 1, verse 44 and 45. Now Jesus can't go anywhere except he draws a crowd. Jesus loved people. Okay? Crowds didn't bother him, okay? So Jesus is drawing a crowd. Jesus goes back to his hometown, and there we find him drawing a large crowd. He's in the hometown of Capernaum. Capernaum is very prophetic itself, in that Capernaum actually means the village of comfort. Capernaum means the village of comfort. So Jesus finds himself going back to his hometown, the place of comfort. In other words, he is doing his work. He is at work in the place of comfort. That shouldn't be strange to us. That shouldn't be surprising. Because what it amounts to is Jesus is doing what he does best. And that is touching the lives of people. Changing the lives of people and ministering to them. Now, the entire town of Capernaum is in a frenzy. People are, if you would, pardon me for being so blunt when I say it, but the people are going wild. They've heard about Jesus. They've heard what happens at Peter's mom's house. They've heard about, or his mother-in-law's house. They've heard about the leper that's been cured. They heard about all the miracles that's happened, in the first chapter of Mark. And now there is, the whole town of Capernaum is in frenzy. Jesus has come back home. Man, he is touching lives. I gotta get my mother-in-law over there. I gotta get my son over there. I gotta get my daughter over to see Jesus. You know, everybody's wanting to go see Jesus. Everybody's wanting that touch. Everybody's needing that touch. It's in the house of comfort, and the comforter is there in the sense Jesus was the presence of God manifest. The Holy Ghost was settled on him, and now we find that Jesus is just overwhelmed with a crowd of people. So the whole town is in a frenzy. There's standing room only in this little house. More than likely, the house wasn't all that big to begin with. I can imagine this house being packed with people. I can remember the days back when I was a teenager. I can remember the day back when we used to have a revival over around home, and it was called the Piney Camp Meeting. And the Piney Camp Meeting basically occurred in a barn. It was a barn that had a few lights hanging up in it and two outhouses out back. And for those of you that don't understand what an outhouse was, it was the facilities, okay? They were 50 yards too close in the hot weather. They were 50 yards too far away when it was raining, okay? In the early days of Piney Camp Meeting, I can remember the camp shed, as we called it. The camp shed in the early days had shavings on the floor, and then they got fancy and they poured concrete up on the podium. And so we had a concrete podium, and then an old wore out church pews had been donated from here and there and everywhere. And then we got metal chairs, and then eventually they poured a concrete floor on the camp meeting floor. And I mean, that was really uptown. But I can remember as a teenager that when you went over to that camp shed, no air conditioning, always took place the same week as the carnival in Withfield took place. And it was hot, man. It was hot. But people would be parked up around the camp shed. The building would be full, somewhere between probably 300 to 500 people in that building. And then they had these old, just like barn door windows. And they swung those windows open, hooked them back with the latch, and people crowding in, pressing up against one another, just leaning in to see what was about to happen in the camp shed. People occupying, they would sit on the hoods of their cars and on the tail. Listen, before tailgating was even a thing, there were people tailgating at the camp shed just to see what Jesus was going to do. And in my mind, I think about what spectacular as that was. I can't imagine how it was in Capernaum with Jesus in the room, with Jesus in the house, Jesus there in the city of comfort. Man, it was ecstatic. It was a crowd. And everybody was anxious and anticipating. But there was a challenge that happened here. The challenge was getting to Jesus. There was a challenge in getting to Jesus. Now, it was a challenge because there were a couple hindrances at least that we can touch on today. Number one, for this man that was paralyzed, we know and we realize he can't walk. His first hindrance that he encounters is he cannot get up on his feet. And I let me tell you something. I have, for those of you that were in Dublin yesterday and heard Dr. Hill's message, I had my message prepared before he preached his yesterday. This man could not get up on his feet and walk. He could not make his way to where Jesus was. In a sense of saying, this man didn't have a chance. He didn't have a chance. Everything was stacked against this man. He was paralyzed. Not only was he paralyzed and his feet wouldn't work, but we all realize and know, if you've ever been around somebody that's suffering from paralysis, the entire body grows weak. This man probably had very little stamina. He had very little ability to get to where Jesus was. There are those of us in life, and myself included, oftentimes, that we're paralyzed by the issues of life. We're paralyzed by circumstances of life, and it can be many things. It can, understandably, be physical, but it can go beyond the physical. It can be emotional issues of life. It can be relationship issues of life. There's all kind of matters of life that can leave us paralyzed, leave us without the ability to move and to advance and to press in to where we feel like we need to be with God. The New Testament records time after time that people were brought to Jesus. We find that there were demon-possessed people brought to Jesus. There were blind people brought to Jesus. Deaf people brought to Jesus. The mute brought to Jesus. A woman with an issue of blood, we're very familiar with. And of course, again, this man in the text this morning that has paralyzed. He's been paralyzed and he hasn't been able to walk ever in his life. Not to say that we can experience for them that I think it seems like that there are people that need help. You may be in this room this morning and you may need some help. This man with paralysis needed help. He had no way to get to Jesus on his own in the physical sense. He lacked the ability to get up and to walk. And because he needed somebody to help him, he needed help. It's not evident anywhere that he asked for help, but four men came along to help this fella. These four men we're going to know them this morning as the carriers of the cot. The carriers of the cot. I want you to pay attention that these men are not in any way described or denoted as being family members. It doesn't even say that they were friends. They could have been total strangers to this man, but the reality of it is, they saw the need to help this man that could not help himself. They saw the need to get somebody to Jesus, and they possibly didn't even know the dude. Wow. Sometimes if we're not careful, we can become very clannish. We can become very clannish within our families. We can become very clannish at work. We can become very clannish in the church. It's me and my three and you and your four and no more. But the reality of it is, these are men that we have no reason to think that they were family or friends, but they came along and they were determined to help this man. They had the heart to help someone that couldn't make it. Wow. Wow. So there's four cot carriers. I've got four cot carriers in the room this morning. I've got Chase. And I've got Josh. And I've got Derek. And Adam, you're back on board, sir. I don't ask my four cot carriers to come up here and join me. Now, my four cot carriers, y'all just come up here across the front. My four cot carriers are going to be known by name this morning. You just stand right over here, guys, for right now. I want everybody to see you looking pretty, okay? The four cot carriers are known by name this morning. These four men that laid hold of the cot, on the one corner is compassion. Compassion. And I thank my lovely assistant, Vanna Sarah, for making my signs this morning. On one corner is compassion. Compassion. Compassion was the expression of the love of Jesus that these men had. You see, because their expression of their love for Jesus was in turn expressed through their love for this man. Even if they didn't know him. Even if they weren't aware of what his background was. Even if they didn't know his history, there was still compassion. But wait a minute, let's think about that on the other term. Maybe they did know this guy. Maybe they did know his history. Maybe there were certain things that he had brought upon himself. Yet compassion takes hold of one corner of the cot and begins to go forward. Then there's the second carrier of the cot. On another corner, we find Mr. Sacrifice. You may have to help. Oh, I got it. On the next corner is Mr. Sacrifice. Now, Mr. Sacrifice, he was busy on this day. Mr. Sacrifice had a lot going on. You got to shorten it up there, sir. I'm sorry. Mr. Sacrifice had a lot going on. He had a lot happening in his life. But see, Mr. Sacrifice comes to the place in his relationship with God where he realized my relationship with God is less about me and it's more about everybody else. So compassion's heart is reaching out, is broken. Sacrifice is realizing this is no longer about me, but it's about somebody else. I can get up. I can go to work every day. I can do all the things I need to do. I could probably push my way into the house where Jesus is at if I want to. But this guy over here, he can't do it. So compassion couples with sacrifice. And the sacrifice is made. I'm going to break away from everything else I've got to do today. I'm going to break away from everything in my life. And I am going to join with compassion and help carry this cot. Derek, you and Josh switched places there for me. The next corner was occupied by Mr. Persistent.
Tie that off for you there a little bit.
I'm proud of you wearing that pink shirt. Pepto-Bismol pink shirt. Because these guys knew I was going to get them up here. Mr. Persistent. Mr. Persistent. Mr. Persistent will man his corner. And in doing so, he's doing more than just carrying a cot. You see, Mr. Persistent, he's now coupled up with his other two friends. He's occupying his corner in persistence. He is determined that we're going to tote this thing. We don't know exactly how far. Capernaum is not a huge place. We have visited there. It's not a huge place, but it probably is a little bit bigger when you're toting somebody along on a cot. Mr. Persistent says, hey, I've got compassion going on. We've made the sacrifice. I'm not giving up. My arms are tired. My knees are trembling. My feet and my ankles are hurting. The crowd is thick. I'm not able to push through the crowd. It doesn't seem like, but we're going to keep pushing on anyway because I'm not going to give up because I got compassion on my side. I got sacrifice on my side and we're going to be persistent and we're going to push through to everything that this man needs. The last corner. The last corner is faith. Now let me tell you about faith. I asked Josh to be faith. Because he's all muscle bound up here. Not that the others are not stout looking fellas and all like that, but old Josh, he's up here, he's all biceped up and all that stuff, you know. But Josh is on the fourth quarter. And Josh's name is actually not Josh, but for this morning's service, Josh's name is Faith. And faith is the driving force. It's the muscle behind persistence. It's the muscle behind sacrifice. Okay? It's the muscle behind compassion. It's a muscle. Okay, I'm sorry. I just recognized what I did. So faith is pushing everything else. So these four guys, I don't know how they met up. I don't know how it came about, but these four guys, I never ever advanced my slide. That's what I'm preaching on is carriers of the cot. These four guys come along and they find this guy. Most likely, He is begging. He is somewhere begging. And because he is in paralysis, he is laying on that cot. Maybe he's saying, can somebody help me get to Jesus? All of a sudden, compassion comes over and says, I'll take one corner. Sacrifice comes over and says, I'll take the other corner. I hope this thing don't fold up on me. I told them if they drop me, I'm going to kill them until Jesus he died. Persistence pushes through and takes another corner. And then faith lays hold of the last corner. And they pick that man up that can't walk. And they begin to carry that man. And they begin to go where Jesus is. You see, Jesus is wanting to get us there. He's wanting, there are people that he puts in our life to help us to get to where we need to be in him. He puts people of sacrifice. He puts people of compassion. He puts people that are persistent and puts people that are full of faith to bring us into the place where Jesus is. And by working together, and it's hard because I am fat, not as fat as I used to be, but I am fat. I am heavy. These guys are getting tired. Chase is turning red right now. But the truth of the matter is, they are staying with the task until we get back to the place where Jesus is at. And as we get to where Jesus is at, they've done their part, and now, this is good parking place right here. Now, they get to where Jesus is at, and Jesus then, help me up. Jesus then takes the reins, if you would. And as Jesus takes the reins, it's he that says, rise up and walk. Okay? It's Jesus that says, rise up and walk. But compassion. Never underestimate the sacrifice. Never underestimate the persistence. Never underestimate our faith that we can use to help to get people to where Jesus is, so Jesus can do his work and say, rise up and walk. Amen. Thank you, guys. You can sit down and you can keep your signs if you'd like. It's totally up to you. Thank you for not dropping me. I appreciate that. But what we see in the realm of Christian service is the element of teamwork. In the element of teamwork, I got all ahead of myself there. In the element of teamwork, we find the advantage of partnering together as we are believers in Christ. None of us in this room are saved to be on an island all by ourselves. None of us in this room were redeemed just so we could go to heaven alone. We have a charge. We have a responsibility to take everybody with us that we can. And when we begin to do teamwork, and I love this acrostic, it's one of my favorites. It says, together everyone accomplishes more. When the church of God begins to work together, when the family of God begin to bind together, and we see and we saw, and I hope that you understand the demonstration this morning, when compassion and sacrifice and persistence and faith came together, they could put this old fat paralyzed man on a cot and carry him all the way around this room just to get him back to where Jesus was. And then it's Jesus that will say, rise up and walk, and he will complete the work in his life. And that is what we are called to do as a church. So here's the deal. Every now and then, and you don't really have to look too far, there is a cot somewhere that you can help carry. And the good thing about it is, You don't have to carry that cot alone. There's other people to help you carry that cot. They're all around us every day. There's cots in this room this morning. I'm not talking about this one. There's cots in this room this morning. There's people that need help getting to what they need in Jesus. They need help. They need help with prayer. They need help with encouragement. They need help with comforting words. Maybe even a righteous hug every once in a while. There's people in this room. There's cots all over this room this morning. Not only are there cots in this room this morning, but there are cots all over the out there, outside the walls of this building. There are cots in your workplace. There are cots in your neighborhood. There's cots probably in your home, in your family. There are people that need you. And you can help carry. And sometimes, it's not up to us to carry. Because sometimes, you and I are the paralyzed man. Sometimes it's you and I that are paralyzed. Sometimes it's you and I that can't seem to make our way to where Jesus is. Maybe you're not like me, but sometimes you just feel like heaven's been brassed over. Sometimes you feel like you're not getting through to Jesus. You're not being able to make contact with Him. Sometimes you and I are paralyzed. And when you and I are paralyzed, we need somebody to come along and to help us carry the cot. Let me say this to you. Don't you refuse the cot carriers. Okay? As Sarah says on Wednesday night, this is not in my notes, but don't refuse the cot carriers. Don't refuse the people that want to help you to get to Jesus. I'm one of them if you didn't know it. Okay? I'm one of them. I want to help you get to Jesus. We adopted over 6 years ago. We adopted as a slogan for this church that we're a family of Christ followers doing life together. And in the years, it's been shortened down where we can say we're doing life together. Listen, there are people in this room right now that want to help carry your cot. They want to help to get you to Jesus. All we can do is take you there. Once you get there, Jesus will do the work that needs to be done. So this morning, you're either here and you're able to tote the cot, or you're either here and you're suffering from paralysis. But either way, we want to help you do what you need to do to get to Jesus. So I want you to bow your heads. I want you to close your eyes right now. Y'all keep it going. Ben's got a button up there. He can make me louder if he needs to. If you're in this room this morning and you're suffering paralysis, you're paralyzed by the issues of life. You're paralyzed. You've never been saved. If you've never been saved, you're paralyzed by sin. You're in this room this morning. You're paralyzed by emotional issues, by relationship issues. You're paralyzed by physical matters. There's all kinds of different things that could paralyze you. But in this room right now, you feel paralysis. You feel paralysis right now. I just want you to raise your hand and say, within my being right now, Pastor, I feel paralyzed. I feel helpless. I feel hopeless. Anybody else? Anybody else? Few hands. Few more hands going up. Other hands. Thank you for those hands. Okay. I'm going to pray a prayer, but then we're going to call for the cot carriers. Father, right now, Lord, I rebuke and I resist the mindset of paralysis. Lord, this morning, I resist all notions, all ideas. I resist the reality of paralysis in this room today. Lord, and I'm believing that those who raised their hand, and even those that would not raise their hand this morning, but know they're struggling. God, I just believe today that there will be liberty. I believe there will be freedom. I believe, Lord God, that you are ministering to lives in this room right now. Now, who's willing to tote a cot this morning? Who's willing to tote a cot? You're willing to tote a cot, I want you to come down here. I want you to come down here if you're willing to tote a cot. You're willing to tote a cot, you come on down here. All these are cot toters. Not cotton, cot toters. Cot toters. Okay, all these people are cot toters. Now if you're here as a cot toter and you reached up your hand as you're paralyzed, that's okay. But if you're not up here as a cot toter, but you raise up your hand as you're paralyzed and you're sitting back there, I want you to come up here. I want everybody that says right now, I see all these people willing to help tote cots. I ain't good on math, but I know there's a whole lot more toters than there are paralysis in this room right now. So if you're here this morning and you are paralyzed in your spirit, you are paralyzed, you are suffering paralysis, whether it's your mindset, whether it's in your emotion, physical, whatever it may be. If you raise your hand up and said, Pastor, that's me, I want all us cot toters, we're going to pray with you. So if you raise your hand and said, Pastor, that's me. I'm paralyzed. I'm numb. I have no feeling right now. I don't know where God's at. I don't know where He's been. I feel like heaven's sealed up. I'm just giving you some hypotheticals of what you may be thinking right now. But I want you to come up here. I want us to pray with you right now. Just lift your hand up. I want you to pray with you. We need some cot toters. Cot toters, gather around. Grab a corner. We're not going to haul Zach around the room, but we're going to help tote this cot. Father, right now, God, we are anointing and praying over Zach. Lord, we are with him. We are standing beside him. God, we are supporting him and giving it to you, Lord Jesus. Lord, you know everything.
The empty cross, the empty grave. Life eternal, you have won the day. Shout it out. Jesus is the